Good evening, everybody. Well, I think we'll get started on tonight's cheer. Last time we had cheer, I mean, there was a cancellation due to a pre-issued voice program. For those of you who are on the email list, as per the location, for those of you who are not, hopefully you didn't spend too long waiting around. We had previously gone over the Gemara on Daf Chavtesim and Beitz and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, through the Mishnah, through the Gemara. We had spent a lot of time on the Mishnah going through the Iyun, and then last time we tried to go through the Gemara quickly, a little bit with Rashi and Tosfos. We got about halfway through, realistically, with the Rashi and Tosfos. And we said, we were going to start exploring some of the, Iyun details of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, starting after the Mishnah. So just a quick review is probably worthwhile. We first had, in the first part of the Gemara, we had a Braisa, which said that even though the Mishnah talked about making Shinuyim, and not doing particular acts in the way that one would normally do them during the week, or for a larger audience, or whatever the case may be, the Braisa in the Gemara says, "If you're not able to do it, don't worry, everything's good." As Rashi says, if you've got too many guests, you've got to run and carry all your things to your house in a very quick manner, then you in fact can carry them in a way that the Mishnah says is prohibited, taka, and that's going to be okay. And then we had mechuzah, the rules of mechuzah, of the people who carried it this way should carry it this way, and the people who carried it this way should carry it this way, and the people who carried it that way should carry it that way. And we're not going to go through the definitions of each one, although again, maybe for a later shir. And we did the sort of the basics of that in Rashi and Tosfos last week. With the final stage being that if you're unable to carry it in any different ways, then you should just spread a handkerchief over the load so no one sees the way you're carrying it. And once again, vimlo efshar shari, damar mari me'efshar l'shanos mutter. And again, we quoted this rule there as well, that if you're carrying this thing and there's no way for you to do it, whatever the case may be, again, we're not going to get into too much detail because we're going to look at a little bit of a bigger picture here today, that's going to be mutter. And then we had other stories in the Gemara. We had one line, Kemad Asher L'Shanuyei Mishanina on Yontif. You're supposed to do whatever shinui you can, and we'll get back to that line in our analysis today. And again, a list of different ways that one might have thought you would be changing your behavior on Yontif, and whether or not that was actually required. That's where the Gemara went with that. Okay, we then got into a whole another separate discussion about all sorts of other things where the question is, should we tell someone off for their behavior, or should we just leave people who are making mistakes be? So at that point, let's start a little bit with the shiur. You should all have the source sheet from the email. If you do not have the email, don't fear. Please let me know. Please send me an email if you wish to sign up for the future. But otherwise, I'm going to share my screen with the PDF on it. So let me just do that right now. Okay. Sorry, we always have a little bit of a delay. Okay, does everybody have the source sheet? Give me a thumbs up if it's displaying for you. The nod. There we are. I see.
Yeah.
You can see the reflection in most people's glasses when it comes on because there's all of a sudden white in front of them instead of dark. Okay, thank you. We've got it. Okay, so what I thought we'd talk about today is this was identified sort of by the Gemara, but definitely by the other Rishonim, as cases of uvdin dechol, nira kemaaseh, chol uvdin dechol, uvdin dechol, uvdin dechol. We've seen that a few times. We've talked about it in terms of Rashi and Tosfos on the Mishnah. I figured let's talk a little bit more about what uvdin dechol actually is and how it may be relevant here. Specifically, what are the different types of uvdin dechol? We're going to see there are multiple approaches to how we understand the general rules of uvdin dechol. And how, which one might our Gemara be? Is our Gemara a separate listing of Uvdin Dechol? Is our Gemara just a regular Uvdin Dechol? And what applications that might have to our Gemara? So we're going to begin actually kind of cheating with a much later source. It's Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael, of course, is the author of a well-known commentary on the Mishnah. And in his commentary on the Mishnah, he has a section in Maseches HaShabbos called Kalkelas HaShabbos. Okay, which are the rules of the 39 Malachos. So he has a section over here about Uvdin Dechol in source number base. And I'm going to read what he writes. It opens with a line from the Rambam. Yes. By the way, again, people, as always, should feel free to unmute and uninterrupt at any point, especially today. I suspect there will be a lot of discussion and a lot less, confirmed sort of just telling over of ideas. But obviously, you know, I have my take, but it's more important to hear everybody else's take. Says the Tiferes Israel, Omnam Uvdin Dechol. What's going on with Uvdin Dechol? So, Ayin Mashukasa V'Igeres HaRambam Daf Nun Vavam. It basically says, take a look at the letters of the Rambam 56b. Okay, that actually turns out to be Shalzer Joseph Rambam Simin Shin Vav, which we have in the next section. B'Hasheela Talakuza, in a certain particular case about suspending different items, which we're not going to get into the details of the case too much. We could just go through a listing of all the different cases in Shas where we see Uvdin Dechol applied, and all the cases in Rishonim where we see Uvdin Dechol applied, and all the cases in Achronim where we see Uvdin Dechol applied, but that would be far too many, so we're not going to do that. So he says in the Rambam, the Ein HaPerush Le'esor Kol Ma She'ose Bechol. If the meaning of Uvdin Dechol was you're not allowed to do things that you do during weekday, the Rambam, you know, tries to illustrate this point. He says, Im Kein Lo Yochal, Lo Yiso, Kiderech She'ose Bechol. Said, well, then you wouldn't be able to eat properly. You'd have to change the way you eat. You'd have to eat, you know, with your left hand or use a different kli or something. And you couldn't sit, you know, on your couch. You'd have to do something else.
Well, don't we change the way we definitely change the way we eat on Shabbos?
Well, not because of Uvdin Dechol. We will get into how this ties into, famously, the Psukim in Nach that were told in Tavshi Mishavas Ragacha, Sos Chafatzecha B'Yom Kachi. We'll get into that. But nevertheless, no one says you can't sit on your couch on Shabbos or on Yontif because, oh, that's what you do on weekdays, says the Rambam. That's ridiculous, in his opinion. Ella, says the Rambam. And at this point, he cuts back into his explanation. Yesh bo gimel ofanim. He says there are three approaches to Uvdin Dechol, and there are actually three categories in which an Uvdin Dechol act can fall into. One possibility is, the rabbi said, something is prohibited because it's similar to one of the 39 melachos. The truth is, this we look upon as sort of a standard gzeira, and he's considering that to be under the category of Uvdin Dechol, but that's really a gzeira, right? If some action that someone does is similar to one of the 39 melachos, so we'll say the rabbis prohibited that, and sometimes he says they will be called Uvdin Dechol. O mishum shema al yedekach yavo la'asos melacha, category number two, is not that this act is particularly similar to one of the melachos, but we're worried that performing this act will cause you to come to do a malacha. Or finally, omishum tircha yisei rasa. Or maybe it's because of the extra schlep, of the extra burden that it's going to put on you. V'kula nichlalin b'shem shvus. And he says all of these are called the shvus. Okay, so he's already blurring the lines between different types of derabbanas, but he's saying uvdin dechol, you have three categories of uvdin dechol, and now he's going to explain examples that fall into each of them. Okay, and again, we're not... The focus today, and I'll take the question in a moment, the focus today is not to go through all the different examples. Again, if it was, I'd bring you Gemaras. We'd start from there like we did with the case of Rav in the previous sugya of Maris Ayin. That other people have done. They think that's too broad. We'd spend the whole rest of the year on this. I don't want to do that. But we're just going to give examples of each, like the Tiferes Yisrael does, like the Rambam does, and we're going to get into that. Did I hear a question before? Okay, I thought I did, but I guess I didn't. So number Aleph, okay, so part number one, which he says, again, this type of shvus, this type of uvdin dechol, is the rabbis prohibited something because it's similar to the ilamites melachos. Let's take, for example, the melach of borer, right? You're not allowed to sort, separate things out on Shabbos. V'toldasa, what's it told? Hamizakek mashke mishimarav. To take out liquid shmarim, we say is just on the tip of my tongue. Anyways, within wine, the little parts that float around there, which for some reason I can't think of right now, my wife is trying to distract me. Sediments, there we go.
Sediments,
okay, so the sediments in the wine, that would be an example of borer, separating the sediments from the wine. And we prohibit, says the Mitzvah Yisrael, certain acts that look like this, even if the liquid is already sort of borered out, and you've already clarified there's no more sediments remaining, you're still not supposed to pour it through certain things. Why? That's an Uvdin Dechol, because there is a gzera shema yishamer. We're concerned that someone might actually come to do it. Zehu ofen harishon shezacharnu, where someone may actually do the malacha. Okay, it's very similar to the malacha. It's not just that someone will do the malacha. It's this action itself looks like, is similar to one of the lametas malachos. Number two. Jeez. Okay, cunning things. Chopping little wood chips in order to use them as firewood. Okay, the Gemara talks about how in such a case you'd be chayav in tochen. What if you're chopping wood into large pieces? After even though in that case not similar to tochen, right? The malach of tochen is grinding. So when you cut something very, 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 very small, it's like you're kind of grinding it into small, small, small little pieces. However, but if you, let's say, cut wood into large pieces, what malacha is that? The wood is detached from the ground. I'm just chopping it into big logs for firewood. So even though, says the Tiferet Yisrael, after b'chei agav no l'dam il-tochen, as true, midi mechzikov din dechol, ma'aram shen yudalit, mishum dechol ha-mesali silta, mechatev etzim gasim tchila. Why did the rabbis prohibit it if it's not anything to do with the malacha of tochen? Because anybody who chops little pieces for firewood, anybody who chops, again, into little wood chips, always begins with first chopping it down into larger pieces of wood. And therefore, he says there's a concern that someone, if they chop down into larger pieces of wood, will continue naturally into the next case, which will be a malacha of tochen, which is deoraisa. And he says that's the second one.
Why is there no concern of using them in a fire? In other words, we're talking about Shabbat, not Yontif. Or are we now talking about Yontif?
So I don't want to be mechalik between Shabbos and Yom Tov yet. We are talking about a Shabbos here. But
so why would there be any thought that you could chop wood on Shabbat to put into a fire?
Not to put into. It could be that that's the malacha that we're worried is going to lead to. I don't disagree with that.
Right, that should be the issue here. It should have nothing to do with Uvdin Dechol. It should be Exera that you can't do it because you're doing it to make fire, which is Usher.
Right. So again, he calls all these things Uvdin Dechol. I'm not sure we always do, but he's going to have good precedent for doing so in earlier Rishonim, where Rishonim used the words Uvdin Dechol, and even the Gemara used it in a few cases that we wouldn't call it necessarily Uvdin Dechol, but looks more like Gzera. But you're correct in that he's essentially describing Gzera with this. And the Gzera that he's referring to is Gzera Mishum Toch. And you could argue that the Gzera of cutting up large logs into firewood would be Exera Shema Yavir, that you're gonna use them for fuel. I don't think that's unreasonable. And yes, there would be a nafkamina for Yantif in such a case. Are we necessarily worried that you're going to Malacha, which is Muteras on Yantif? Probably not. So yes, I think that's all fair, but definitely, as you saw in his introduction, he considers anything which is a shvus to be in some way Uvdin Dechol, and he's a very, very wide, as we said there, wide sort of net, and when he's catching different things, to call them Uvdin Dechol. So, he gives a few more. But
by the way, in the first example, you also said Gzera. This seemed blurred to me, because he talks about with the wine, he says, Gzera Shemi Yishamer. Here you're saying, the second category is the one Gzera Shema, that he might end up
it's
doing
Gzera.
The first one.
So to him, the difference between them is, in number one, in category A, the malacha, the action that you're doing actually looks like the malacha itself. You're doing something that is absolutely identical to the malacha, but the malacha is actually not applicable in that case. Why? There's no shmarim in this liquid, and therefore you're doing something that looks exactly like the malacha. That's why we're worried you're going to do the malacha, because you're doing something that looks identical. Here, it's that you've done step one in a process, that step two of which would be a malacha. That seems to be what he's going at. But yes, both of them, he says explicitly, is a gzera shema, you're going to do something. He has, again, a whole bunch of examples here, which we're not going to go through, but that's the point of the idea. I mean, again, it's always an uvdin dechol, gzera shema yavo to something. That's, you know, ofen habez shezacharnu. If you jump down over here to see where I highlighted, everybody see where I'm up to? Okay, so that would be category number one, category two. Category three. The kaf kasa mifanin dal behe kupa shol tzvuav shol kafin bia orachim below yoser, vishum tircha yisei rasa. Since there's also this notion of tircha, though, extra tircha, and he's first quoted to the Gemara in Shabbos, which we dealt a little bit with, that you have a maximum of four or five, depending on the circumstances. However, v'kaf kasav nu ha-mevi ha-deyayin v'chadome lo yavim v'salav akupa. He quotes our Gemara. He says, hey, what's the reason why in our Gemara you have uvdin dechal. And it's true, again, the Gemara doesn't explicitly say uvdin dechal. It's mashmaid very strongly with all this language of shinui. And Rishonim say it. But nevertheless, the Gemara doesn't explicitly say it. And he says, the reason for that, daro be'igra lidaro be'kafa, is all mishum tircha. Okay? And he says there is a type of uvdin dechal where the purpose of the prohibition is not because you're going to do any malacha. He says, after all, what malacha are you doing if you're carrying something inside your house in a heavy fashion, like I mentioned, or even outside your house? We're not worried you're going to do any malacha. Why? Carrying mutter on yantif. However, in that case, he ties it in. He says it's because of the tircha. Because you are doing extra work, you're schlepping things in a very heavy way that you would do only during the week. That is a third category, he says, of Uvdin Dechol. Kol zemeh ofen ha-shlishish yamarnu ve'od harbe domin le'elu ha-shlosha ofanim shenu asidim levarame tako malacha malacha. And he says there are very many other ones that will fall into these three categories. V'chein v'al kulan v'asan patr mido reisav al-chayv makas mardus v'rabanan. And he says, even if you're over on Shabbos b'shogeg, look at this last line here. I mean, look, and he gets this from a very reliable source. He says, these are only derabbanas. I'm worried they're not the rice. That's ulam. Bizman hazeh afilu be'avar ha-shvus b'shogeg. Even if you did a shvus b'shogeg, chayv lisanis mem yom. You need to fast for 40 days. V'lal she'achar atanis lo yochal basar v'lo yishti yayin. And at nights, you can't even eat meat or drink wine because you're fasting during the day. And at night, you also have to abstain from meat and wine. Gam yitin zalid zilber grushin v'chetzi. Oh, ke'en zeh gimel fa'amim litzdaka be'ad chatas. So it's a very harsh punishment if you're over, but I don't think anybody paskins like that nowadays. It would probably be good for our sensitivities towards these type of things, but nevertheless. Okay. Now, that would be very nice if that's what the Rambam said. The problem is he opened with the Rambam, and then he just left what the Rambam says. How do I know? Because I looked up the Rambam. And if you look up the Rambam in Chalsa Chuvos, again, he's talking about hanging certain things. I see already one typo here, or is that maybe an added note? I don't know. He's talking about hanging certain objects. So because we don't do any malacha that you're chayav skila with these objects. The only thing that is prohibited to hang, he says, is something with which you would do a malacha deraisa v'lo amrinan b'chihani shel yasek yiderch shu oseh b'chol. And again, that's an added hey. I don't remember seeing those inside, so I'm not sure how they got pasted. But there are a couple of pasting errors on the store sheet. Im kein lo yochak yiderch shu oseh b'chol v'lo yasek yiderch shu mesev b'chol. And he makes the argument which the Pharisee Yisrael brought. He says, because there's no concern of uvdin d'chol, he says, just in all these things. And otherwise, you wouldn't be able to eat. We wouldn't be able to rest. Zed davar baru hu lemeivin here, he says. This is something obvious. She'in ata motzi le'olam devarim chasra chamim shum shal yasik hider shu osu b'chol. It is the only time the rabbi is prohibited for this reason. Ela devarim she'efshar she'yargilu limalacha. These three words. Devarim she'efshar she'yargilu limalacha. It's possible that you will come to find yourself doing a malacha of sorts. What do these three words mean? Which of the categories of the Tiferes Yisrael above would you say this definition of the Rambam is? One category, two categories, three categories, whatever you'd like. What are your thoughts?
Two categories.
Which two would you say?
First and second.
It sounds like he has no care about Tircha. This Tircha I couldn't care the less about. There's nothing wrong with that. Derech Shu'os B'chol is only cases where you may come to do the malacha. So one way is if you're doing an action similar to malacha, or number two is if you're doing something that may lead you into a malacha. The truth is, could anybody argue for an even more expansive definition of the Rambam here? So I think the truth is you could even say efshar sheyargilu l'malacha, even though it's clearly not what he's saying from the continuation, as we'll see. But I think you can make the argument within that to say there are certain scenarios in which we are worried about you doing malacha, even if it seems further removed. I'll give you an example. One of the times I was, least cognizant of the fact that I broke Shabbos or Yantif was when we lived in Israel when I was in grade six. Fortunately, I wasn't, not only was I not a bar onchin, I wasn't bar mitzvah yet at that point. But of course, I was, Shomer Shabbos, Yantif, and Yantif Sheni rolls around. Now, we as people who had just moved to Israel for 1 year, the psak that my family had received was, you keep 2 days of Yantif. And there are other people keeping 2 days of Yom Tov. We're in Rosh Chodesh, which is basically like the USA anyways in regards to the population. And it was fine. But you wake up on second day Yom Tov, and after you go to shul, and you have to realize this is Israel. No one's driving in Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, or if they are, it's something weird or an emergency or something. No one's, you know, doing any malachos. No one's out with their phones or whatever the case was. The grade six phones weren't such a big thing, I guess. Nobody was walking around like this. But and at some point during the day, I just went to the elevator button and pushed it to go up to my apartment. And then I get up and someone's like, why were you in the elevator? Isn't it Yontif? And I'm like, oh, right, but you just forget. And I think that there are some cases where if Yontif turns into such a day of chol, you can sometimes forget and go ahead and do other malachos. Nevertheless, the Rambam tries to make a direct link. I don't think that's actually true of the Rambam, because he says he gives you examples. You know, and these are examples that are essentially from the Gemara, and all of the cases are Shema Yavo Lidei a particular Isser. Shema Yavo Lidei Schita, you can see in one line. The next one, Shema Yavo Lidei Imur. Okay, you might come to gather things together. Shema Yase this, Shema Yase that. Right, and his final line is Avatlias Akuzva Mitznepis Pekiotzibahen Mutter Vilo Asru Chachamim She'ein Sham Davar Lachu Shema Yase. If you can't point out, says the Rambam, a particular malacha that we are concerned about someone doing, there's no such thing as an Ovdin Dechol in that case. That is the Rambam's assertion. So this is really what it seems to be, is that the Tiferes Yisroel, without telling us, just threw in, at the very least, category number three, without telling us. Nevertheless, I think it's important to note, let's think now quickly, and we're going to do a little bit more of this later, what would our case fall into? We saw that according to the Tiferes Yisrael, our case falls into category number three of Tircha. How would the Rambam understand our case? How could the Rambam say that our case is Asur? And I'm welcome to, you know, I'm happy to hear again everybody's take on this. What would the Rambam say is the problem in our case? Would the Rambam say this is a classic category of Uvdin Dechol or not? What do you think?
Okay, I'm not trying to explain the Rambam, but I'm having difficulty with the Tiferet on what he's saying, because in the Gemara it says that if you have no choice, you could do the Malacha. I mean, he has all these punishments and everything else, and so his third case, the way he explains it, makes absolutely no sense to me.
I have an issue with the way he frames it as well. I think that's an excellent, excellent point, which is we haven't yet dealt with the detail of Imiyef Shalashanos Mutter. What does that even mean in Tiferes Yisrael world, the way that he's framing this? We don't have a Sfara, and we'll have to think of a Sfara within this approach to say why Imiyef Shalashanos Mutter applies here. Within the Tiferes Yisrael, and this is on my list of things to do at the end, is to figure out if the Tiferes Yisrael says that the reason why this is an Ovdin Dechol is because you're adding on extra tircha, extra work, extra burden, extra schlepping. So therefore, the Chachamim said that's Aser. Why did they matir that if there's no other way to do it then? How does that fit into his definition? I think that's a very strong point. I think that's absolutely a very strong point. Would you be able to answer that for the Rambam, though? Based on that question, would you suggest an answer for the Rambam? Because I think that would logically lead to a certain approach.
The Rambam doesn't say anything about Tircha. So in other words, the Rambam that you have brought in this case has not defined Tircha. And so there may be another Rambam that we haven't learned yet, but this one is not dealing with our case here.
Well, he does say explicitly that there's no such thing as Ovdin Dechol except for when it leads to a Malacha. So if our Gemara is talking about Ovdin Dechol, how would the Rambam explain it based on his definition given in Tshuvos? So I think that you could make an argument on behalf of the Rambam that this case is actually different than those other cases because of the criterion which you pointed out of Imiyef Shalashanos Mutter. You could say the Rambam saying that maybe there's something special about this case that doesn't fit under the classical examples of Ovdin Dechol. Maybe it doesn't lead directly to a malacha or a malacha d'oraisa or a chiyuv skila or whatever the Rambam said above. But nevertheless, it could be there's a similar notion here, but this, according to the Rambam, may not be your classic Ovdin Dechol that we see in Maseches Shabbos. And that may be why here, and not in any of the cases that the Rambam mentioned of Ovdin Dechol, you have the ability to say Imiyef Shalashanos Mutter, because we just don't see that by regular Ovdin Decholz. And I think that's something to keep in mind very much. You could, however, make the argument, and we actually brought this up in understanding Rav's Gzeira, that we noted back it was the Rosh Yosef who pointed out for us, from the Gadim, who pointed out that back in Tosfos, there was a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos as to the status of doing things shelo litzorach yantif by emalacha amuteres beyantif. Anybody remember and want to summarize? According to Rashi and Tosfos, what was the halacha if someone goes ahead on yantif and carries something for 3 weeks from now? Not tzorach yantif at all. What were they over?
Sorry, don't remember.
Okay, you can still cheat though. You have the Tosfos in front of you. You just have to find where in the giant Tosfos they say it.
But I want to ask a question. Our Gemara is talking about Beitza, talking about Yontev, and we're talking about things. I mean, on Shabbos, we don't carry things like that, you know, or maybe there's an issue about going outside and inside that we had the Gemara before.
Exactly. I think that's a very crucial point. Is this a Uvdin Dechol that applies equally to Shabbos and Yontev? We saw Tosfos saying no. Tosfos says, actually, you're allowed to carry like this, like we have in our mission of being prohibited on Shabbos. Tosfos is Mechalik. I think that's a huge, huge important point. Absolutely. On the other hand, we did see other Rishonim. We're not going to name names, but it was, you know, we will name names, fine. That seems a little harsh. It was the Shita of the Ran that was brought in the Beis Yosef and many other Rishonim that we saw as well, who say these rules do in fact apply to Shabbos. And I think that's going to be a very, very important detail in understanding what type of Uvdin Dechol this is here and how it works on that sort of global stage of Uvdin Dechol. Is it under that? So to spoil the question that I asked, if you look over here, I'm going to summarize, right? Just the lines that we need over here. Okay, so V'yesh Lomar, as you can see what I've highlighted on the screen, hopefully. Divada ina chinami dimino raitza hol the hutra hutra legamre. Says Rashi, okay, this first was Rashi's opinion, based on his gears and the Gemara there. Since the malach of carrying is hutar, hutar legamre. There is no situation in which carrying is actually an Esther d'orais on yantif, says Rashi. El Rabbanan Kazra al-Darashin al-Tzorach Yantiv came in the Ikrot San Esra Yish Lesser al-Darashin al-Tzorach Yantiv Klal. Says Rashi, however, if you did not do it l'Tzorach Yantiv, there's an Isra Darabbanan. So according to Rashi, is there any type of Uvdin Dechol that you can pin, any type of Malacha that you can pin this Uvdin Dechol to? Very iffy. You're getting at worst on Yantiv to a Darabbanan. Now you might say we're gozer on Yantiv due to Shabbos. And that's going to get back to a large degree to Gerard's point. How do we say this applies to Shabbos or not? But it doesn't seem to be. This seems to be a Yontif din at its core. It may be also applicable to Shabbos. Why? If we're saying that according to the Rambam, you require a malacha d'oraisa that this may lead to, I'm sorry, but I don't see that here according to Rashi. On the other hand, according to Tosfos, take a look down here. Vidafka, Tosos opinion is different. Vidafka Vatsashi Yish Batsarach Yantiv Ktasam Rina Mitol Shuhutra Latsarach Yamtov Dechalov Ochal Nefesh Mutter Hutranami Shalol Tsarach Ochal Nefesh. He says, only when there's a need for Yantiv do we apply the rule of Mitoch, which you've learned about. However, if, in fact, there has to be an Ikat Tsarach Mikta Shish Tsarach Yantiv Aval Shalol Tsarach Yantiv Klal Vaday de Aser Min HaTorah Kmo Ofemi Yantiv L'chol, says Tosfos, say Tosfos over there. If someone does on a Shalol Tsarach Yantiv, if I go around on Yantiv and schlep a bunch of things around for absolutely nothing to do with now, says Tosfos, that's actually an Esther Doraisa. If so, this can actually fit, according to Tosfos at least, and I'm not going to go through every single sheet that I've shown him, but just to illustrate you, Rashi and Tosfos, Tosfos can tell you that this can be an Uvdin Dechol in line with the Rambam's definition of Uvdin Dechol. Why? If you get too comfortable schlepping things on Yontif in the Rishus Harabim in this manner, you may come to do it when it's not Litzorech Yontif, and that, says that Tosfos, will be a Doraisa. Mashainkin, according to Rashi, that's not the case. Are there any other indications of Rashi and Tosfos in our sugi, other than what Gerard pointed out, of the Shabbos Yontif elements of it, that would come up, by the way, from our sugi, that would emerge? I should actually apply what you said. According to Tosfos, is this something that's applicable to Shabbos, this issur that we have in the Mishnah and Beitza here? What did Tosfos say? Is the same? Does the same halacha apply on Shabbos or no? I see nodding no's. Why not? Well, this would work very well. If Tosfos is worried about the potential for a malacha deoraisa happening on Yontif, well, that's not relevant on Shabbos. Why? Because you can't be carrying outside altogether on Shabbos. We'd never have a gzera about carrying something in your house might lead you to do a malacha outside. That's not what we're worried about. But here on Yontif, where you're allowed to carry outside, we are taka worried that you may come to carry outside in a prohibited way. And according to Tosfos, this all would work nicely. Are there any other details anybody remembers from last week or a previous week? And again, last week that we were here, not physically last week. A detail that would help us identify, according to Rashi and Tosfos, what type of Ovdin Dechol we have here. I think there's one important detail, which we saw also highlighted in Rashi and Tosfos, that very much feeds into this.
Can I back up one step? You're trying to apply the Tosfot to the Rambam, but the Rambam's concept of malacha is a malacha is the malachas that he selects as being permitted for ochal nefesh means that malacha does not exist on Yotzev.
Correct. I am not trying to find out why the Rambam yet thinks that this is Ovdin Dechol. If he does, we will get to that, but I'm trying to figure out which model of Ovdin Dechol do Rashi and Tosfos here adopt. But you're absolutely correct. From what I remember, and again, I learned this together with you guys, but from what I remember seeing, the Rambam has a very blanket heter of mitoch, and he says, hol v'hutra, hutra. And he is much more on the Rashi side of things than the Tosfos side of things. I think you're correct.
I thought you were trying to apply the Tosfos to answer how the Rambam would feel in this.
Okay. No, no.
In my recollection of learning the Rambam, it's not clear that he holds of the concept of mitoch. He defines certain areas you can do, but we don't know if he really believes in mitoch.
Well, his idea of mitoch is, it may be different. I don't think he denies mitoch. He may just have a broader application of it. But again, I wasn't around then. I'd have to go look that back up. But I'm not trying to explain Rambam on our sugya because we never learned Rambam on our sugya yet. I'm using the Rambam that Tiferes Yisrael's models of Ovdin Dechol, and we're trying to apply what Rashi and Tosfos and our sugya might think of those. Which model might they adopt, if any? I don't think they're necessarily adopting any. As Howie pointed out, we have a very clear difference between this type of Ovdin Dechol and other types of Ovdin Dechol, which is the Me'asher L'Shanos Mutter. And I don't think you should disregard that quickly. You might be able to tie it into these models and to explain it, and we're going to do that hopefully a little bit later, but let's pause here for now. I'm just going to summarize Hey and Vav outside. I don't think they're that important. I really want to keep to our sugya. I mean, they are important. I brought them for a particular reason, and other people discuss them for specific reasons. But this is the sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban in Chumash, okay, is brought as a halachic source, and that's why I brought you source number Vav, an excellent article on the topic, by Ohad Fixler in the VBM, who actually brings cases where this Ramban ala Torah is brought to Oraisa, where the Ramban seems to understand the word Shabbason actually tells you that you have to be restful on Yontif. And potentially it seems that doing things like on weekdays is actually not restful. You can argue over the specifics of the Ramban. I'll let you guys take a look for yourselves, just at this one line, which does make it sound like it's the Tiferes Yisrael's third category. Lo she'yatriach kol hayom limdod hatvuos v'lishkol hapiros v'hamatanos v'lemalei hachavios d'yayinu l'fanos hakilim v'gam avanim v'yis l'bayis v'makom l'makom. And he says that's what the Torah prohibits. When it says you have to have Shabbason, it has to be a Yom Shviso Menucha, Lo Yom Torah. That's what the Ramban says. And again, people, Acharonim, late Acharonim, adopt this as a definition of Ovdin Dechol. You can quibble, and again, I'll leave this to you, as to whether or not this is the Tiferes Yisrael's third interpretation. He certainly doesn't mention this as the source for it, but it certainly sounds similar. Or is the Ramban saying that anything that you're doing on weekday, even not so much the tircha element, you have to differentiate between Shabbos and weekdays? You could maybe make that argument as well. The main thrust of this Ramban, though, is that it's used to make it into a deoraisa, to say that Ovdin Dechol is somehow deoraisa, and that such a person is a mechal Shabbos before Hestia, and a this and a that. It's hard to understand. Other people, it seems from the Rambam and other places, by the way, I should note, and this may be also where the Tiferes Yisrael got it from, we didn't have a chance to bring it here, does do this with what was mentioned up front. I apologize, I don't remember who mentioned it, but the psukim that we have in Navi to talk about Shabbos being a restful day, right? Im tashim mishabbos raglecha, asos chavzeba yom kachiv, karas al Shabbos oneg, l'chadash nemachuban, mimsel chefzecha, v'daber davar, those may also be sort of derabbanan or even divrei kabbalah sources for the notion of Shabbos being a restful day. And that may be the Tiferes Yisrael's third category coming from one of those ideas. That's in Hey and Vav here. Again, then we have an Igros Moshe, very interesting Igros Moshe. And then we'll talk about this last article that we have over here and some of the Nafkaminas and then get back into our Sugya. So the Igros Moshe over here brings a Rivash, the questioner had asked him, Asr Ligror Gvina Bimorag Charutz Baal Pipios. Mishum uvda dechol. So first of all, you've got to love, you know, Lashon Chachamim. I'm quoting Pesukim, throwing it in there. What are they describing? What is a gvina bimo, aser ligro gvina bimorag charutz baal pipios? Sounds like a grater to me. Right? You can't put the gvina against these many holes.
Parmesan.
Right, maybe Parmesan or something like that. So the Rivash says you can't do that because of uvda dechol. And it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, I mean, Rivash is a Rishon. Ha'im mutter lachtoch gvina ubeitzim bekelim ha'miyuchanim lakach uvichlal maha klalim shal uvdin dechol. So the person, the questioner asked him, he said, number one, let's say you have something that is meant to cut. Have you ever seen those egg cutters? Right, so you put the egg in and then you put it down, it cuts the egg beautifully into, you know, 10 little slices. Or if to use a cheese slicer. This was the question of the questioner too, Rav Moshe. It says, are you allowed to do that? Or is that also maybe uvdin dechol? Because hey, if putting cheese in a grater is uvdin dechol, maybe cutting cheese with a cheese slicer is uvdin dechol. He says, "Bichlal maha klalim shel uvdin dechol." So, and what's this uvdin dechol all about? And Rav Moshe also has a very elusive type of definition, but one that, at the very least, many recent authorities seem to think is different than all that we've seen so far. So you're right. Chuv alfi ma shegazavti leka shum iser derezeu rak chaticha lachalakim velo dak dak. He says, first of all, it's not a problem of chopping it too finely, which, as we said, might be a malacha issue. Umitam uvda dechol lo muvan, he says. What does it mean even to say that this would be asked because of uvda dechol? The chimashe osin lahakel hamelacha yischashe uvda dechol? He says, what? This is something you're doing to make things easier. The gam b'shabbes yish tzorech v'ratzon lahakel. He basically says, I know there was a lot of words that I just read and usually I like to translate in smaller chunks, but the main point is he says, it's shalom nikar al zeh milacha arait, from the root of arai, ela kivua, that this in some way makes the malacha more kavua. And he's going to really go on to explain this in the next paragraph. So I'm going to read on before we make judgments on what Rav Moshe's explanation of Uvdin Dechol is. I'm not here to say this. Uvda Dechol, says Rav Moshe, who kirikasavti shehamalacha nasis al yedei ze tuva. Or probably tova, sorry, not tuva. I don't know why I said tuva. It's done, tova, in a good way, ki melacha kivua, like a very kavua type of melacha, de'ostin b'chol v'lo mikar inyan asiyas arai, shenasis b'lo k'peda kol kach ala melacha sh'te'ase yafe. Says, because on Shabbos, apparently your melachas need to be done without caring about the specifics of the melacha, meaning, Rav Moshe is going very, sort of, if you back up, very, very macro here, and he's saying, the difference between the malachos which are allowed and the malachos which are not allowed, you're showing the ones that we allow you to do, they're not malacha because you don't care about them. You're not trying to do anything in particular. And when you do something in a manner in which you do it during the week, that type of uvdin dechol, which we refer, that's what we refer to as uvdin dechol, says Moshe, is where you're showing, I want this to be done perfectly. That's what uvdin dechol is, says Moshe. Uvdin dechol is when you do something you do on a weekday, which shows that your intention is that this malacha should be done in the best way possible. That is a very interesting definition. It really doesn't quite fall into any of the definitions that we've seen so far. It doesn't seem to be about tircha per se. It may be related to tircha. But Rav Moshe says the malachos that are mutter on Shabbos and Yontif, it's because, again, you're not really so makpid on it, right? Shinasis belok peda. That's what you're doing on Shabbos and Yontif. You're doing an inyan arai. However, if you're doing it in a way that you do it during the week to show, I care very much about this, and the malacha needs to be done in the most perfect way possible, then we're going to say it's aser because of uvdin dechol. And he goes on to give example after example after example after example after example. You can see it over here. There's a uvdin dechol. Sorry, this line that I had highlighted. You're just doing what I need to do. I'm just doing what I need to do right now in a way that's not formal, that's not as good as I would care about on the rest of the week. And that's what Uvdin Dechol is. And you can see him do it again and again and again. And he keeps on repeating this point. This is his definition. So this really is a significant new definition. You know, again, the people that discuss this bring this definition in, and we'd have to think about how that fits our case. What would you say? How would this definition of Uvdin Dechol fit our case in our Gemara? Well, not well. And why?
This deals with Tircha.
So it's kind of like Tircha, but it's kind of different, right? I hear your point. It's not so far away from, you know, the notion of the Tiferes Yisrael, that some things are just because of Tircha. For Moshe, it's more about the way in which the malacha is performed. Malacha being the loose type of malacha, not actually technical malacha. If it was technical malacha, it'd be an Isra Doraisa. But whatever action that you're doing, Rav Moshe is emphasizing that you don't want to do it perfectly in the way that you do it during the week, because you're showing you care about it too much, almost.
How do you define that for a wife, a woman, or a man who's cooking on Yom Tov? I'm going to make the pie, and I'm going to leave a little part open because I don't want to show that I'm doing a perfect pie. You know, I need it to have a much more concrete definition, because otherwise it seems to be open-ended. If I use a fork and like this and I do one more stab, that might be like Uvdin Dechol. You know, how do you define it exactly?
It's true. His definition is a little bit broader, I think, than what we've seen otherwise. What he would answer about the cooking is that cooking is a malacha, which is muteres.
Yeah.
And therefore...
But certain aspects of how you grind it, how you do it, how you, you know, like it's so hard to define what exactly
right.
I mean by that. And which
right.
woman, for example, who's cooking on Yom Tov is not doing it, you know, in some ways, you know, likes to do it the best way possible.
Right. I mean, and look at the examples that he gives. Sweeping your house. Right? And he keeps on bringing you later and later inventions of Uvdin Dechol. And this, I think, is a huge, huge nafkamina that you have to think about, which is, depending on your definition of Uvdin Dechol is either a rule, a set of rules that was created and left very open and easily applicable to modern new things, which is Rav Moshe's definition, as you're pointing out, seems to be exactly that. Masha Inkin, if you look at the older definitions, the Rambam definition and the Tiferes Yisrael's definitions, you can very easily make an argument that we see in the next case, which I'm going to highlight you in source number Ches, right, the Maharshag. She'ein less or lirchov alofanayim mishabes b'shum uvdin dechol. You can't ask her riding a bike because it's uvdin dechol. Ki al pi hasfara lo yadati my uvdin dechol shayach b'zeh v'gam ein lanu l'chanesh gzeros v'isur midatenu. He says, you don't create uvdin dechol. Uvdin dechol is a category which Chazal said certain cases are uvdin dechol, and that's the end of the story. Rav Moshe would probably say, and I don't know because I didn't look up the bike riding in Igros Moshe, even though he probably discusses it somewhere. Someone must have asked him about it once, about riding a bike on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And you could say that according to Rav Moshe, you know, no, that's like literally the definition of Uvdin Dechol. You're doing something, you know, you're transporting yourself in a way that you're trying to make exactly. You're showing I do care about how fast I get. It's like terrible, probably, according to Rav Moshe's definition. Masha Inkin, according to the other definitions, and here's where Rav Moshe almost flies in the face of Tircha. He doesn't quite, because he does incorporate Tircha. He says if it's to make something easier for you, it's okay. But it still seems that in the case of bike, he would say, based on his definition, that again, it's not being done in an asiyas arai. You are being makpid on what you're doing. I think that would be. Whereas if you're saying it's because of tircha, what do you mean? Riding on a bike is so much easier than walking, you know, to shul. Everybody should ride on bikes if you're talking about tircha. And again, the riding on bikes is a much bigger issue, and I cut off one of the reasons. There are various different reasons, and lamaisa, there are achron who say that, yes, we apply ovdim dechol to that case. And so that really leaves us with just wrapping things up so we can bring it back to our sugya in the last few minutes here. It leaves us with essentially what we have are four nuanced approaches. We have the three of the Tiferes Yisrael, and we can fit the Rambam's approach into numbers one and two of the Tiferes Yisrael. We can fit the Ramban's approach, maybe, and others into number three of the Tiferes Yisrael. Rav Moshe seems to be a distinct approach. And to say, what are Rashi and Tosfos in our sugya following, and what are some nafkaminos? So I will just give you the Rashi prakim that I have here. So, number one, so the things that we've brought up so far, that again, that I also have in my notes, what are the differences here between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and is this even a regular case of Ovdin Dechol? Number two, why would a Shinoi help? Okay, and these were all questions that you guys already brought up. Why should it be okay, again, to do it without one if you are unable? What types of Shinuyim are best? Can we make up our own Ovdin Dechols? And is it Deoraisa or Derabanan or something else? So we called attention to two details already. We said that within reason number two of the Tiferes Yisrael, Tosfos had a very easy application to our sugya. Tosfos, as we pointed out, differentiated between Shabbos and Yontif and said that in the case of Yontif, we said that according to Tosfos, you could say it's actually a gzera because you might come to carry Shelo L'Tzarach Yontif Klal, which would be an Isur D'Oraisa. Since Tosfos is being mechalik, however, between Shabbos and Yontif, let's think of another element of this. Why might it be that according to Tosfos, doing a Shinoi would help, and that if you can't do a Shinoi, you would be allowed to do it? You could argue that even if Tosfos wants to adopt that approach that is like a gzera, what is the gzera for? The gzera is maybe you're going to come to do a way in which this malacha was not mutter. So again, all of carrying is mutter. Tosfos says, except for the case where you're not carrying for the sake of Yom Tov, and that's what Ragozer for. Don't schlep everything in a sal and a kupa. You should rather bring it al ksefa ol lefanav. Maybe Tosfos would say that since the whole gzera is about not a regular plain malacha, which is prohibited in its entirety, but about performing the malacha in a manner in which it would still be subject to an original Isser D'Oraisa. Again, does everybody, this is, I think I'm going out like a little bit on, you know, on a tightrope here. One type of gzera, classic gzera, would be, don't do this because it's going to cause you to do a malacha, which is certainly Isser in all cases and all scenarios. In such a case, it doesn't make sense, Devasparov, if you can't do it, so what? You always got to have a shinui in those cases if you're going to allow you to do that. However, here where Tosfos is saying the gzera is not for a full-fledged all-out malacha, but for a scenario within the malacha of carrying, which would not be mutter on yontif, you could make the argument that tachlis, if push comes to shove, a guy says, I need to bring my things l'tzorech yontif, and I have no other way to do it, I could see Tosfos saying, you know what? It's really only a gzera that you might come to do it shelo l'tzorech yontif, but if you're in such a situation that there's no other way for you to do it, and it clearly is l'tzorech yontif, we're willing to let that slide. Masha Inkin, by the rest of these types of gzeros, by the rest of the whole cases, there's no such allowance to say that. Why? We're worried you are going to do an actual bona fide malacha, which is asr under all circumstances. It's not just worried you're going to do a certain malacha hamuteres in a prohibited way. It's worried you're going to do that malacha, period. And that, I think, could serve as a very good spar for Tosfos to be mechalik between why over here, if you do a shinui, it's going to be okay, and if you can't do a shinui, sorry, it's still going to be okay, whereas everywhere else, we see no such definition. I think also it's very important to note, look at the first Tosfos on Lamed Amad Aleph. What's Tosfos's point there, essentially, to say? What's Tosfos saying in the first Tosfos of Didaru Berigla, at the end of the Tosfos there? What's Tosfos' point about all of these different Shinuyim? a very, very strong point, which I think it should very much flesh out where Tosfos stands in these definitions of Uvdin Dechol. It's not on the sheet. Tosfos is just in your Gemara. What's Tosfos' last line and a half? Va'afilu nami, anybody want to read it? What does Tosfos say you require in order to bypass the Uvdin Dechol here? So Tosfos quoted Rashi. Shinui. You need a Shinui. What did Rashi say you needed, though, at least at the very beginning? You needed the Shinui also to be Lahakel. You need the Shinui to make things easier. So if you're Tosfos, though, and what's the purpose of this Uvdin Dechol? Again, it's because of a gzera for a malacha. Do you care if the Shinui makes the activity easier or harder? Not at all. Who could care the less? Says Tosfos, we don't care if it's Lahakel or not. It's a Shinui. If it's a Shinui, then you're doing it differently. We're not concerned that you're going to do the malacha of carrying in a prohibited way. Mashi Enkin, according to Rashi, who anyways doesn't even hold that you can be over an Isser Doraisa of carrying on Yontif no matter what you do, even if you don't do it. What's Rashi's emphasis again and again in Rashi's? Tircha, Tircha, this is much easier to schlep it in this way. Right? And that's Rashi earlier as well. It's Lases Masaos. It's Nirka Mischavi Lamalacha Rabba. All of these things that Rashi seemed to be emphasizing are falling much closer to definition number three of the Tiferes Yisrael. And that's why Rashi says when you're doing a Shinui, ideally, what does the Shinui have to have? Less work. You can't carry four, you can only carry two at a time. Why? Because that's easier. And the whole concern of Uvdin Dechol that we have here is really, as the Tiferes Yisrael says, Mishum Tircha Yasei Rosa, that really works within Rashi in our Sugya. You might be able to learn Rashi elsewhere, but that's a pretty compelling argument to say that's what Rashi's trying to do over here. You look at the way that he requires and how much he emphasizes about Velo Lehargos Torach Beyantif, right? If you look in Rashi, the Dara Bedukta.
What about in the house? What about in the house itself?
So that's a very good question. What might Rashi hold about the house then? What might Rashi hold about Shabbos then?
Or Yontif, I can take a very complicated meal, which involves extra effort to do that, or I can do a simple meal.
Right.
You know, and how do I ever have a situation where cooking on Yontif is Uvdin Dechol? It can never be Uvdin Dechol.
Right. I mean, again, depending on your definitions of it and how much we would be willing to create new gzeros, you might be able to come up with something, but I don't think we see classic gzeros in the Gemara about cooking. We see things that are relating to cooking in the previous parak, various activities that we say are Uvdin Dechol.
The only thing I can think about is you're cooking Uvdin Dechol, you're cooking for another day. You're cooking maybe
right,
3 days.
Right, and that would, in fact, that's not Uvdin Dechol there. You're getting back to the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, and again, another Rishonim as well, as to when we say Melachos or Hutra. Yes.
But you have the other Rashi that says that when you're working on switching from how you carry things, so Ladaro Be'igra, where it says Lishinui, and even though it's not Lahakel. So Rashi's not consistent with Lahakel as the only reason.
Right. Well, because Rashi admits that there are some cases in which you can't make it easier. But the fact that Rashi even goes so far to say, in a Hanami, this one I can't find a way to be Mekil, shows that that's clearly an important point for him. Otherwise, why is he spending all the time? Why is he even mentioned it in that Rashi?
But he's saying 2 points, though. He's saying it's Shinui or Lahakel, or ideally it's Shinui and Lahakel. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, then Shinui and Lahakel becomes irrelevant.
Correct. Because Rashi still needs to allow you an opportunity to do these things on Yontif. The malacha is still allowed. If you're having guests over, you have to figure it out in some way. So the first way to do it is to make things easier. But if, in fact, there is no way to make it easier without making a shinui, you actually show that this is the way to do it.
See, I'm not sure if he's saying that. But that's what I'm asking. Uh-huh. What he's saying is shinui and hakel, if you can. Right. If you cannot, Shinui by itself is still okay. Correct. I don't see how you can separate and say he's saying lahakel without shinui is okay.
But look what he says. But look at his language there and take a look. Rashi qualifies the type of shinui you have to make, right?
No, the type of shinui you should make, not have to make.
He qualifies two, he gives two different definitions. In Rashi, the Ramasla, the Daru Biduchka, and the Daru Birigla, and the Daru Biigra, number 1, 2, and 3, Rashi tells you it should be a shinui, which is lighter. I don't think that's an absolute, as you're pointing out. Why? Because if you look in Rashi, the Daru Biigra, the one that starts with the Dalet, not with the Lamed, because otherwise they're identical. Rashi says, in a Hanami, this is not Lahakel. But Rashi says it still is something else. What does Rashi write? Mikol makom shinui hu ve'eino marbe torach b'shinuyo. According to Rashi, if you had a shinui that would actually make things worse, it could be taka that they wouldn't be good enough. Right? Rashi still says you can't make more work for yourself. Why? Because it's about tircha. That's what's going on here. So I think that you can really fit Rashi quite squarely into Tiferes Yisrael approach number 3. I think you can fit Tosfos quite squarely into Tiferes Yisrael approach number 2. I don't know that they say this worldwide, and nor am I suggesting that. I'm saying simply from the local sugya, you have a few machloks in between Rashi and Tosfos, potentially. One would be how you deal with Shabbos. And again, if it's about Tircha, this would be equally applicable to Shabbos. And Rashi might say that it applies there too. We discussed that a little bit back and forth. We didn't really come out with a conclusion on Rashi, but you could say that. We talked about, again, whether or not it can lead to a Malacha del Raisa. And we talk about the types of shinui in which they require. And I think each of those three machloksim actually fits very well within the rubric that the Tiferes Yisrael gives us as bolstered by various other mefarshim over time. I'm going to stop here because we're well over time, but Yashar Koach, I'm happy to take more comments to try to explain the best I can afterwards by email, whatever works for you, but I'm not going to hold people any longer. So for now, Yashar Koach, and I'm happy to stick around.